And that is where our scripture leads us this day, to the birth of the light of the world. We find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and here's what it says. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was already expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. The word of God for us, the people of God. Well, as we are flowing through this season, and especially in the sermon series, The Unexpected Gifts of Christmas, I'm reminded especially this morning of the gifts of house guests, and sometimes expected, sometimes unexpected. I remember a few years ago when I was living at home, and my parents, we all decided we were going to invite some of our extended family over for Christmas. It would be great to have everybody come together. And so we sent out the invitations, and wow, we were surprised when they all said yes. So, but you know, we absolutely made room. You know, you just kind of scrunch together and you make room for everybody to show up in that place. And I was thinking about that with this story of Joseph and Mary, and they're traveling along and they're trying to find a place to stay. And the different experiences that Mary had had. You know, when she was first told by the angel that she was going to give birth, she was also told that Elizabeth was also going to give birth. And so Mary went to Elizabeth's home. And if you recall that, and I don't know if Elizabeth knew that she was coming up to the moment that she knocked on the door, but when she knocked on the door and she entered in, Elizabeth just burst forth in praise for the one who entered into her door. She said that even the baby in her womb was kicking with joy at the one who entered into their house. I mean, what a welcome. What a reception to have as a guest to enter into someone's home. And how different things began to be as Joseph and her were making their way to Bethlehem. And it says that they entered in there and there was no room for them. And of course, for years and years and years, I don't know about you, but for me growing up, I always heard that there was no room for them in the inn. And that comes from the King James Version. There was no room for them in the inn. And I remember growing up, we'd have parties, we'd have plays, we'd have scripts, we'd have dramas about Mary and Joseph, and they'd walk along and they'd knock on the door, and you know, the innkeeper would come out and be like, "No room, you know, no room here." And you know, there's always this imagery of them going through Bethlehem and all the hotels and motels and bed and breakfasts, all the signs out front said no vacancy. And you know, where are they going to go and what are they going to do? It's interesting, as you've seen in the scripture this morning, the translation there from the NIV, scholars now looking at that word, the way it should be translated probably is more as guest room. There was no guest room available for them. And so that raises an interesting and different possibility that really Joseph was taking Mary. They were going back to Bethlehem. And in that place, he was probably going back to maybe a distant family or ancestral home, hoping that there might be some room for them. And they show up and all the guest rooms are taken. Everyone's already shown up. Everyone's already accepted the invitation. Everyone's already there. And so there's no room left for them. And that raises a whole different way of understanding what's happening. Joseph is trying to go home, but there's no room for them. And who knows what his family's thinking? It may be that there really is no room for them, no more guest rooms available. It's maybe possible that it's a little bit scandalous that Mary's pregnant, even though they're not married. And so we don't really know all that's going on. What we do know is it's possible then that what they talked about was maybe the family made a little bit of space leading them around back that ancestral home where they kept some of the animals in the stalls during the winter to keep them warm. And so they made a little place there for Mary and Joseph to stay. But then that changes the whole story. Because as we think about God entering into this world, certainly it's still the same God seeking. Whether there is no vacancy at the inn or there's no guest room available, it's still the same God seeking. It's still the same God searching. It is still the same God coming into this world. Because he's coming for each of us, that we may know his grace and his love. And it's so ironic that instead of entering into a palace, instead of being surrounded by guards, instead of having servants at hand to help with this birth, they are surrounded by animals. They're being wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger of all things. And yet there is no space on this earth, no place that God will not go to reach whoever is there. That is one of the most powerful truths about who God is and his love for us. There is no place he will not go to reach you, to find you, to call you. That is the depth and the breadth of his love. And so he comes into this world where there is no guest room available. And I think about our receptions of God's love as he enters into this world, the way that we are open and sometimes not. For some of us, when God knocks on the door, we cannot wait to open the door. We've been waiting for God to show up. We're so glad he's here. We're kind of like Elizabeth. God enters in and we just break forth in praise. We are so happy that God has arrived. And so there's these moments, I suspect that some of us have this. Others of us, maybe we're on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe God comes knocking on the door and we say, look, you know, my life is full. I've got a lot going on. My calendar, I'm looking here, there's no space for you right now. There's no guest room that I have for you. And so, you know, maybe we'll have a little space around the back. You know, it's interesting that sometimes for many of us, I suspect that is we're not quite ready to throw open the doors and sing a hallelujah. We're not ready quite to send God down the road. I suspect for some of us at times, we know that we need help. We know that we need a Savior. I mean, if we take a good, honest look in the mirror, we know that we could never enter into God's presence without God first making a way, making a provision for us. And so we know that we need God. It's just that we don't want God that close. We don't exactly want God in the guest room. And so what we do is we send God around to the back to the stable. We keep God close, just not too close. And I suspect part of the call of Christmas, though, is to recognize where God is in our lives. If we haven't thrown open the doors to the hallelujah chorus, if we haven't sent God packing down the street, if we have God here, just not quite here, maybe part of the call of Christmas right now as we prepare for the celebration of the birth of the Christ child is take an assessment of where God is. Where is Christ in our life? How close in has he come? Because there are certainly many things in our life, many ways that God has blessed us. But if we ever get to the point that there is no room left for God, then we have missed the point. We've missed the point of all those blessings. And to be honest, instead of giving God a guest room, what we could actually do is give God our own room, the center part of our heart, the very center of our lives. And it is then that we would begin to see and know who this guest is, who this God is, and what he can do in our lives. Because when he gets a hold of our calendar and our space and our heart, it's then that we can begin to know what it's like to live a life, as the candles say, of hope and peace and joy. When he enters into your heart and into your life, you begin to know what it's like to live a life of love. And it happens because we get into that uncomfortable space of saying, Lord, enter in. I'm going to make space for you. I'm going to open up Scripture and read your word. I'm going to take a moment every single day, and I'm going to give that to you, and I'm just going to be open to receive your word, what you would have to say, and if most of all, just to be present with you. And I'm going to start there. Because, Lord, I'm not going to send you down the street. I'm not going to say there's no vacancy. I'm not going to say there's no room. And I'm tired of you sitting outside in the stable. It's time for you to come on in. It's time for you to be my Savior. It's time for you to be the center of my life. And so I invite you this week to consider where God is in your life and where he needs to be. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this love poured out in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that when we were far from you, we could not even approach you. You sent Christ for us, that he would take every sin and the distance and the brokenness upon himself, that he would overcome all things in the resurrection, that there would be new life breaking forth. And Lord, may that new life break forth in our hearts. May we not keep you at a distance, but may we invite you in. For Lord, we hear you knocking on the door of our heart. And by your grace, may we say yes anew this day. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen.